Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Rewind, we will examine the 1921 football code of Walter Camp and his expectation of how the gridiron game should be played. Are we living up to his expectations today? We'll find out by listening on here in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we stare back through that portal today, we go into our football history rewind, part number 44. We are still in the year 1921, and what a glorious year it was for the gridiron game. And today, we're going to take a little bit of a different look at it, because this in-depth series on the history of football has mentioned the name Walter Camp just maybe once or twice. In the opinion of this writer, Walter Camp is the most influential single man that set the landscape and the rule disciplines for the game of football in the United States. He played football in its infancy in the late 1870s when it was actually still a game of rugby. Then he became a coach, referee, rules innovator, and actually served on every rules committee from the early 1880s till his death in 1925 at the Rules Committee Convention. Yes, the man actually died at the Rules Convention. That's truly a demonstration of dedication to the game that he loved. Well, he loved it so much that he wrote about it constantly. You'll see periodicals and books and everything he could get his name attached to tell people about the game of football. That's exactly what Walter Camp did. And just to get an idea of how much this man put thought into the future of the game, we can look back at yet another excerpt from the 1921 Spalding's NCAA Football Rules Book, of which Mr. Camp himself was the editor. In the 1921 rules book, Camp expressed in written word that he truly intended the game of football to be. It's the only way to truly give the message the credit it deserves and portray the astonishing brilliance of this man. And his idea of football utopia is to let you hear it word for word yourself here in the podcast. No one says it better than the well-spoken Walter Camp. So here is his 1921 version of prose on his expectations for the game he helped develop. It's titled, quote, "The Football Code." Foot and ball are two separate words, as it was back in those early days of the game. Here's what Camp says, quote, "Both in play and in tradition, football is distinctively academic game, the game of schools and colleges. The friends of the game must accordingly rely on the schools and colleges for the preservation of its past traditions and the maintenance of high standards of its sportsmanship and its play, which are to be expected in a distinctively academic game. In some sports, it's possible to attain reasonable high standards simply by the adoption and enforcement of rules, but this is not true with football. There are so many men engaged in action, the action is so rapid and constantly shifting, that it's impossible for any official to discover every infraction of the rules. The committee, in the remodeling of the rules has gradually taken place, has endeavored to prohibit and suitably penalize all forms of unfair tactics and practices. It has also endeavored, so far as possible, without affecting the integrity of the game itself, to remove special temptation or opportunity for unsportsmanlike play. So far as the rules themselves are concerned, the committee feels it has done about all it can do, and there has been with continually increasing satisfaction that the members of the committee, in common with all lovers of the game, have observed rapid improvement in the standards of play. Each year there has been less attempt on the part of players to beat the rules, and unfair tactics have largely disappeared. The anything to win coach is disappearing. Officials are generally more efficient and fearless, and their rulings are more and more accepted without quibbling. There are, however, still many schools, teams, and even some college teams that seem to fail to recognize the first obligation of every football player is to protect the game and itself, its reputation and good name. He owes this to the game, his friends, and its traditions. And there can be little excuse for any college player who allows a game to be smirched with unsportsmanlike tactics. In this case of players in the school's teams, however, the committee is inclined to believe that unsportsmanlike play is due to largely to ignorance of what the proper standards are and what the great host of ex-football players and friends of the game expect from the boys who are just learning it. Unquote. Walter Camp had a vision of the game that he dedicated so much of his life to, and in that vision that included collegiate students as well as those younger men who would honor the game with honesty and fair play. And it should be noted that he did not speak about professional athletes because he did not like the fact that there were players that were getting paid to play this game that he helped create because he felt it was tainted as a pure sport. He wanted players to play for the sure joy of playing and not for the pocket full of change. Now, it's, you know, one thing that I think Camp misses when he says this is the most important thing of the game is, you know, the integrity of the game. I think that we as, 100 years later would say, the protection of the players in their, physical welfare and well-being are probably the most important. That's the most important aspect of the whole game of football. It's its players and the people that are participating in it. So I think that's one thing that they missed 100 years ago, including Walter Camp. He was just a man, and he missed some of the subtleties that he called them. It's very important to us, not a subtle obstacle at all, because there's people that still get hurt, even with all the protective equipment and everything that we have today. People still get hurt. People have passed from playing this game. And they should be honored and respected in that light. So, but 100 years ago, those words of Camp still ring with some merit in this day and age, and would be wise for every player, official, and coach to once again read and understand the football code from 1921. The expectations of the fathers of football are clearly stated here in the context of the code, and they express football in its purest form. We, as fans and players and officials, need to remember this code as well as its very basis of what makes the game today so very special and enduring spectacle that it is. And I think it was really important to say, he expects that they have all the players are and coaches are going to be playing with fair play and a level playing field. And, the other ways that he sort of said that same thing. That'd be great if people could still do that and not resort to any tactics that were unfair or harmful to other players. That's for sure. Now, the other thing I think that he sort of misses the boat on, they make it sound like, okay, the rules are done here in 1921 and they're not going to morph anymore. That's sort of a pretty much an oversight, because just look how much that game has adapted in 100 years. They were wearing, leather helmets in 1921. Now we have, these state-of-the-art, helmets that the technology is just unbelievable, and radio transmitters, and some have chips in them to tell the well-being of the players, and communication devices and yada yada, as well as many safety features and technological breakthroughs to help protect the players' heads and all the other pads and extremities that are being protected in football, as well as and the cleats and the footballs themselves have changed size and shape, and the fields have been modified somewhat with the artificial turf and slingshot goalposts and goalposts on the end line instead of the goal line, and so many different things that Camp, if he was still alive today, would really probably appreciate the advancements of the game and probably retract that statement that they sort of took the rules as far as they could, in so many words what he said. So we're glad that you joined us here for another adaption of the Football History Rewind, part number 44. We will be back next time on Football History Rewind, probably at the end of this week, maybe the beginning of next week, with part number 45 to stay in some more of the 1921 events and teams and players of that important year in football, both pro and collegiate level. Now, hope you'll join us each and every day for more football history here on Pigskin Dispatch. And as always, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.